Okay, we continue the Rambam, Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud Ches, Chapter 7, Law 18. We're talking about this idea of the Shas HaBiur, that once all the food in the wild is consumed, then anything that you have in your home has to be destroyed, including any money, anything you bought, Shmita crops with, etc., etc. And then we talk about certain times when you can assume that the stuff has been destroyed or not. So a lot of Shvi's produce does not ripen until the eighth year. Okay, some it's growing in the seventh year, but you can't eat it. It doesn't ripen until the eighth year. The question now is, how long can people trespass into other people's fields and to go into other people's fields? A little bit off the topic a little bit for this one halacha. I don't know why. But Shemitah year, I go to anybody's field anytime, the whole seventh year. Now the eighth year, really, Shemitah's over. But on the other hand, we got some Shemitah crops that grew in Shemitah that have Kedusha Shvi's that are now going to be fully ripening the eighth year, so people got to go in and get it. So how far does that go? Like, how long do we assume the crops are still there?
But I think you would have to establish first, if there's a crop that's ripening from the sixth year, in the seventh year, do they have the rights to go into during the Shemitah year? Because two-thirds of it grew during the previous year.
That's not the question on the table, Martin.
But it was, because if they couldn't pick that, then they could go pick the other ones. But if they could pick that, then they couldn't.
Okay, let's learn this halacha maybe, okay?
We're learning. Well, we learn from this, we might be able to apply back.
In the eighth year already, there's nothing. He hasn't spoken about that, right? So what grew in the sixth year? So once it's Shemitah in the seventh year, it's okay. So va'ad masayil an hanim utarim likanis paradisos motzi shvis leisel per shvis. So until what time can poor people? And again, it's not just poor people; it's anybody, because everybody's considered poor in this area. Can they enter fields after the seventh year to gather the crops that became Shemitah crops in the seventh year? So the answer is, Ad Sheteired Revia Shnia, until that second heavy rainfall that's supposed to usually comes, which is not too late into the year, hopefully. And therefore, what happens after that second rainfall, the crops get, whatever's not picked is destroyed, because those crops cannot take that rain anymore. So therefore, that's called the Shas HaBiur for them. In other words, remember, the whole idea is what's out in the fields. Okay, what's in the fields in the wild? As long as there's something in the wild, that's the Shas HaBiur. That's also one that goes together. In other words, the reason why I got connected to these halachas, the Shas HaBiur means if you have any in your house, you got to get rid of it. But also, once there's the Shas HaBiur, especially here, then there's no allowance. What are the anim coming for? What kind of crops can you have now? So by the time the second rainfall comes and it really destroys whatever crops are out there, that automatically becomes the Shas HaBiur. Therefore, no one can eat any of those crops, and therefore the ani cannot go into the field anymore after that time. All right. Now we go back to the regular halachas of Shas HaBiur. Yud Tes. Havered v'hakofer v'halotam. Roses, okay, cloves, and chestnuts. Yesh lahem v'lid meyem shvis. They have the laws of Shemitah because they are considered peros. They're considered fruits, whatever. And they have and if you sell them for money, the money becomes, kaddush. And there's a concept of beer as well.
Even though it's not edible.
It seems these roses had, what do you mean, cloves, chestnuts?
Roses.
It's called, it seems to be, it has a status of
Paris.
Yeah, it has a status of Shemitah, and it's for use. It's not for burning purposes, and it has certain edible purposes. And there'll therefore be a beer time for that as well. And the money, okay, and now you get an interesting shot, is you're selling roses during the Shemitah year. You bought money with the Shemitah year. With the roses. You paid money for the roses, and now the rose season is over. There's no more roses around. You gotta get rid of the money. So all these halachas fit into here. Okay. Now, also, we move on to, haktaf. What is ketaf? It's balsam sap that comes from the leaves or the roots of the tree. That balsam sap, ain lo shvis, has no halachas of Shemitah, has no Kedusha Shvi's. Why? Because it's It is not considered an edible product. It's not considered a food or anything like that. So if it's not an edible product, it's not part of the game.
Maple syrup would be.
Well, maple syrup is not balsam oil. Okay. So, vahayotzei min hapagim, and the extract that comes out of the underdeveloped berries, yesh lo dmav shvis, that and its money does have the halachas of shmita of shvis, because it is considered an edible fruit. That extract is edible. So there's a difference between extracts that are edible, extracts that aren't edible. That really is the basic difference over there. Okay. Now, when do we say, oh yes, Bamed, when do we say that these extracts, when do we say those extracts could maybe have no status of peris when it's coming out of the Ilan Machel, when it's coming out of a real fruit tree? In other words, where we're saying there is no Kedusha Shviz. So certain trees, maybe they're fruits, there's extracts that come out of them, they're not edible extracts, so therefore they don't have a status of Shviz. Avol Be'ilan Srak, listen to this halacha, but what about a barren tree? So tree gives no fruits, okay, but there's still going to be a sap coming out of it.
Maple syrup.
That which comes out of the leaves and from the roots, that is their fruit, because there is no other fruit that's coming. This is exactly what is coming from them. And the Yeshlod Mavshi, so therefore it becomes their money, it becomes Shemitah money, they have Kiddush, they have all that Kiddusha. Now obviously, it's interesting, the Rambam seems to be showing that, you know, maybe for regular fruit trees, the extract might not be considered because it's not really what you have the tree for. But if all you got from the maple tree, you don't eat the maple leaves, right? It doesn't have any fruits, right? So that thing is what it's all about. So that's very good. Very good, chop to say that's, I don't know if there are maple trees in Eretz Yisrael. That's another question. What? There's no maple syrup. So that is a theoretically good idea, but practical not. Well, must some of those other trees like that in Eretz Yisrael? No, Yaakov, any trees like that in Eretz Yisrael give any kind of sap? I don't know. But anyway, so they would still have a Shemitah law. Wait, I don't know. I'm not a botanist. Okay, next two halachas are a little bit tricky over here. Hakoivesh veret, we'll just explain them simply, I don't want to get into the details here. Hakoivesh yerek vered shviz. Okay, we're going back to pickling. Remember we had a halacha, we pickled three different things together? So you got a fresh rose that doesn't have a strong taste. I guess the longer the rose grows, the more taste the rose gives off. So this is a fresh one during a Shemitah year, and it doesn't give off a very strong taste. And you pickled it, b'shemen shel shishis, with oil from the sixth year that had no halach of Shemitah at all. This is different than halach we learned a couple of days ago, where all the foods are Shemitah foods, but they have different times of the Shas Habir. That's why the halach is going to be different here, in case anybody would remember from last week. And to ask me why is it different, I'm telling you right away. So here you have, as opposed to before, where it's all Shemitah crops with different cutoff points, this is the rose, the rose is a Shemitah product. The oil is not a Shemitah product because it's from the sixth year. Now they got pickled together. You pickled it in oil, whatever. So now, what do you do in terms of the problem? You want to have the oil, but there's a Shviz, rose in it that has Kedusha Shviz, and what's going to happen after the time frame? You got to get rid of the roses. So the simple way is out, you lock it as a fair. Just pluck the rose out of the oil, and you eat that with Kedusha Shviz, v'hashemen, but the oil mutar, the oil has nothing to do with it. Why? Even was pickled, but since the rose is a fresh rose and doesn't have such a strong taste, it doesn't put enough of a taste into the oil to create a Shemitah mixture of the oil that would have to deal with that. However, if things change a little bit and now the amount of rose taste is strong enough that it can impact on the oil, as the rose we're getting now, that rose kvasho, if you're now going to pickle this rose from the seventh year, but now it's not in the seventh year, it's going to be a little bit later in the eighth year already, b'shemen shel motzei shviz, with shemen from the eighth year, where now the rose is stronger, strong enough to make an impact into the oil, and now we've got the roses after the time where the roses have to be burnt. right? So now chayiv lavar shemen. Now you've got to destroy the oil because the taste of the rose has gone into it, and now it has the same halach as that. Sharei avered yovesh hu, because by this point the rose gets very hard and gives off a lot of taste. Ukfar nischai bavir, and it already has been chayiv in it being burnt out anyway, and now it's put the taste into the oil, so the oil has to get burnt out. While on this topic, one more like this, Chaf Beis, the last one in this perek, Charuvim, what do you call it, Kerib Shel Shvis, Shekshvasham Beyein Shvis, that were pickled or in wine from the sixth year. Again, the wine has no Shemitah issues, it's the Kerib that has the Shemitah issues. Obiyain Motse Shvis, or for that matter, even wine, it's been a little bit longer, and it's been the wine from after Shemitah year, where maybe there could be a little bit more strength to the carob. Chayiv lar yayin, under all circumstances, in this scenario, you have to burn out the wine when the time to get rid of the carobs is there. Shreitam perish shvisbo, because it has the taste of Shemitah carob in it. It doesn't make a difference at any time. Zaklal, this is the rule. Peres shvish in his arba peres acheres. If shmita of crops got mixed in this way with non shmita crops, min bimino, if they're the same kind, if there'd be, let's say, oil from the shmita year with oil not from the shmita year, then the halacha is bekalshu. Any amount would make it prohibited, and it's not an issue of taste anymore. That's the halacha. We're going to get to the yoredei halachas. Min bimino is also bekalshu. You may say, why is it not nullified at all? The answer is, since it's before, you have time before the Shas Abir, you could have gotten rid of the stuff and eaten it up beforehand. However, Shalob Amino, but if it's a different species, like in these halachas that we've done in the last two halachas, where a rose into oil or carob into wine, they're not similar species. Halachas beno Saint Tom, it depends on if Tom taste has been infused into it. So by the rose, it depends on what type of, how far the rose is developed. With the carobs, it always puts a taste in, and therefore you have to burn it out under all circumstances. Okay, we're now starting chapter 8.
Thank you.
And chapter 8 is going to be the last chapter dealing with the agricultural laws of Shemitah. After this, we go to the other laws of financial laws of Shemitah. And this chapter is going to discuss what is prohibited to do for someone that we suspect is violating the laws of Shemitah. What?
As a farmer,
and all these aspects, as a seller, whatever. Somebody is breaking the laws. We suspect somebody. We have good reason, not just a hunch. We've caught them in the past, like whatever, or they're ignorant of the law. But you know that what you do could help them and further their sinful behavior. So that's what Rambam's going to discuss. That's the nature of this whole chapter. It's a bit long, and I don't know if we'll finish it today, but well, for sure tomorrow. We want to finish all the loose ends before Rosh Hashanah. Kid Aleph, Kiderach Sha'asr Lavod Ha'aretz Bashvish, just like you are prohibited to work the land during a Shemitah year, Kach Asr Lechazek Yidei Yisrael Sha'ivdin Aso. You're also prohibited to strengthen a Jew who is working the fields in a prohibited way in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And the simple example of that is, let's say you see your secular Jewish farmer who's plowing the lands in the middle of Shemitah year, and you're walking by, you should not say, you know, you're doing a great job, it's good for the Israeli economy, yashar koyach, you should have the strength to continue this job. We're talking about verbally even, to verbally encourage him, that's what the Rambam's talking about over here. That you can't even do that. Okay, number one. Number two, limkor lahem klei avodah, you can't sell them tools that will enable them to get this work done. Levisha Azer Asur Lechazek Yedei Ovre Avera, because it's prohibited to strengthen the hands of those people who sin. And that goes under what Avera? What negative commandment? Lifnei Iver Losite Michshol, before the blind, you do not place a stumbling block, which doesn't necessarily have to be a blind person, as it were, but it's prohibited to help anybody to accomplish sins, to be an accomplice, so to speak.
He doesn't mention buying. I mean,
we're just starting. We just started the first halacha, right? We're dealing first with the issue of a person is transgressing the Shemitah by working the land.
Right.
So we're dealing with that issue first. You can't help him in any way to work the land, no matter how indirect it may be.
So if you're in the land of Israel, and you're a farm implements distributor.
Okay, so that's a big shaila. I didn't have a chance to look at it. I know the Chazon Ish has a very landmark tshuva on this.
Right.
That maybe, if you remind me, I'll bring the main thing of that tomorrow, where he has a big kula for this, a big leniency in that area. If you are a person who sells agriculture, you have gravely farm utensils at Bathurst and Lawrence. It's one of the, you know, the one big anomaly in all of Toronto. You drive down the Bathurst Strip. Going on Bathurst Strip, you see restaurants, it's your favorite insurance, is that? But right south of Bathurst, Lawrence, one block down, it's like gravely farm tools.
Next to where they had selling boating equipment.
You know? Yeah. But I mean, gravely farm tools.
Used to be boating.
So, yeah, no, there's it's off topic for a minute. But anyway, so there's a big rumor that it's a drug place. And there's a little
rumor.
Sign that says yes,
hello?
No.
Hello?
I'm just saying. Anyway, I'm just saying. So that it's just, I don't know why it came in. But anyway, so if you sell farm implements, your farm selling business, well, you should really be closed for Shemitah, right?
Can you export?
But anyway, let's see. So anyway, so can you sell? If he can't sell, stamos, he can't sell.
John Deere Israel.
I'm sorry?
John Deere Israel needs to take the year off.
Well, they're a goy; they don't care about the lachos. But if it's Yehoshua dear, would have a problem.
But if it's owned by a Jew,
okay. Anyway, there's this. Okay. Anyway, let's learn more. Base. Ve'elu chelim sheino umen rashai lemachron v'shvis l'misha chashud. And these are the implements that the professional who makes these tools that he's not allowed to sell in a shmita year to someone that we suspect al hashvis.
Right.
That you suspect him. In other words, not just, you know, well, he doesn't look so religious to me, I think he's a certain. We don't mean that. Last Shemitah, he worked the field. You haven't seen any significant chew on the part. The guy is still as secular as he was beforehand. Well, you have a good reason to suspect he's not going to keep Shemitah. Now, the Rambam will tell us a little bit later, someone you don't suspect, we're going to go into detail, someone you don't suspect for transgressing the working land of Shemitah, you can sell him farm tools. You're going to wonder why. We'll see in a minute. But that is not prohibited.
We'll use it
it's prohibited to sell the guy that you're very suspect. He's. It's almost clear he's going to use it. So let's discuss the tools. Machareisha, the plow, v'chol chela, and any other things that are appendages to a plow. You know, the wheels to the plow, whatever. Anything that goes with a plow. Ha'ol, a yoke. Right? Vahamizra, and a winnowing tool. Now, even though a winnowing tool per se does not work the land, however, we already discussed, we'll see that certain things are rabbinically prohibited, and this is one of the things that's rabbinically prohibited to do as well. Vahadeker, and a spade. Those are tools you can't sell, because it's pretty clear it's used for prohibited activities. Zaklal, this is the rule. Any work that is designed, any tool that is designed to do prohibited Shemitah work, then you can't sell it to a person who you suspect that he would use it. It's for sure a farm implement. It's not something we'll discuss in the next halacha where maybe for farm, maybe not for farm. This is clear. The only thing you use it, if it's used in Shemitah year, is to do an aveira. Finished. But what about a utensil that, yes, it could be done to do prohibited activities, but there could be also permitted activities with that same utensil? Then mutar lamachro lechashid, you can sell it even to a person that you're suspicious of. Why? And this is going to be a general rule of thumb. As long as you have something that you can, tola, you can suspend, you can say it could go the other way, as it were, then we go in that way. Because you only transgress the prohibition of lifnei iver losite mishol, putting the stumbling from behind, when it's a certain stumbling block, but not a doubtful stumbling block. Just like a regular, the simple idea of blind man's walking, you put a stumbling block right in front of it, he will certainly fall over it, right? So the same thing, this guy wants to work on Shemitah, he's going to work, he just needs the plow, you give him the plow, he's certainly going to do it. However, it's something that you sell that not necessarily has to use it for prohibited activity, so that's not a certainty that he's going to do that. Then that's going to be okay, as we'll see in the next Halacha Gimel. Kate said, nope, let's have an example. After we finish Gimel, when we can do it. Let's have an example of this. Mocherulo, hamagol, you can sell him a sickle, V'hagola and a wagon v'chol kelel and any utensils. Why can you do that? Wouldn't that certainly be an avera? No, because there's no guarantee that he has to. Remember, when you're harvesting, the only prohibition is if you harvest a lot. But shim yitzur bo ma'at. What if he harvests a little? V'yaval agala ma'at and he brings on the wagon a little bit at a time. Already said a little bit of harvesting.
It's fine,
right? It's okay. Harei zemutar. So, but a spade already is digging the ground, and any amount you do is usur. The other things, a plow, 1 inch of plow is prohibited. All those things are prohibited. But a sickle, you know, a from Orthodox Jew is going to go to his field with a sickle and just cut down a couple pieces of wheat so he can make challah that day. There's nothing wrong. Or somebody else, the from Jew will take his wagon because it's hard for him to carry even a little bit. He's going to put it on the wagon. So that's not guaranteed he's going to do an Avera. Even though you're going to say, yeah, but we know he's not Orthodox and he's going to, that already is more than we, you know, it's not, he doesn't have to for sure do an Avera. But on the other hand, yes, it is possible he could do it in a prohibited way. But if he will indeed harvest it in a way of a normal harvest, do a tremendous amount, which is prohibited, he's going to use the wagon to bring all the fruits into the house, then also that's osur. But since it's not a vadai must happen prohibited thing, so therefore you're allowed to sell him for that. Now you could ask what you want.
So it says you can't sell it in the Shemitah year. I mean, the end of year 6, can you sell it to him when you know that in the Shemitah year he'll use it?
Well, he's not doing an aver with it that day. I don't know.
He doesn't have his farming.
Maybe 30 days before you couldn't, because we already said 30 days before you can't work the land.
Because it says specifically so sure, in the year.
So for sure, just like 30 days.
It's considered.
Like 30 days before you couldn't do it either. So, but beyond that, you know, then it's not for sure going to happen.
How about
a long time from before.
How about, let's
then
say, 10 days before Shemitah ends, you could probably sell it, or a month before, because you're not farming.
Well, if you know he's not going to use it, if there's going to be no plowing going on.
Yeah.
Okay, now, that is, now, Dalid, Mu'umutar Limkor Stam Lemishayna Choshet, you can sell a farming implement that will clearly only be used for what would be a prohibited activity, and you can sell it stam. What do you mean stam? It means stam mean to a person that you don't know is suspected of transgressing. In other words, is a Jew, I don't really know how religious he is. Well, he has a kippah, but not all Jews with kippahs keep Shemitah, necessarily. I don't know, he's not on the wanted list, whatever. I don't know. A regular Jew walks into my John Deere store on a Shemitah year. I don't know that he's suspected of anything. He could be very well a good Jew. I don't know. So you may sell to such a person, even though that's the thing can only be done in a prohibited way, you could sell it. Why? Because sometimes people want a bargain. Can't you imagine? I would imagine. What do you think the cost of plows in a Shemitah year would be?
Low.
All right. Like what do you know Lahavdil, you know, after the Goyisha holidays, right after the big holidays,
the wrapping paper,
you know, the wrapping paper goes way down in price. Listen, the guy who's selling plows has to make a parnasa, right? So the guys know, okay, Shemitah ends in another 6 months. Okay, guys made a clearance sale, 50% off all plows, because the plow seller, he doesn't have any food. He may not have any food. He has to have parnasa. These are getting a good deal. They got enough cash on hand, so therefore it could be, every Jew wants to get a good deal.
It could be
he bought it during the Shemitah year to use for Adam Shemitah. Now a guy who you're suspicious of, then what are you talking about? He's gonna use it tomorrow. Because why is he buying a plow? He's been plowing the whole year, right? So he probably bought a plow because the plow broke or something. So that already we don't do. But if we don't have any reason to suspect that fellow, then we can assume a better situation.
Is this the source where Jews buy things on sale?
I don't know.
It's like the rabbi's trash bag.
Yes. Hey, Hayotzer. Now the guy who fashions barrels, a guy who makes barrels. Now, so let's say a guy walks to his house, into the store, he wants to buy barrels. Now, usually you're going to need these barrels for storage for things you're collecting. Well, so the guy says, I'd like to buy 1,000 barrels. Now, why does a guy need 1,000 barrels in the middle of a Shemitah year? Well, obviously he's got to store 1,000 barrels worth of olives or grapes or whatever he's storing in those barrels, which is allowed or not allowed?
Not allowed.
So the guy who's selling barrels, how much can he sell to people going into his store? Well, we already learned what was the amount you're allowed to pick. That's a permitted amount.
Three
that's
meals.
Not necessarily allowed.
Three
well,
meals.
That was one thing with meals, but it's also the amount of olive and grapes. So this is what he can sell. Mocher chamisha kadei shemen. He could sell 5 barrels that will be used for oil. The chamisha sar kadei yain and 15 barrels that will be used for wine, because that's the maximum a person could take, and that's considered not harvesting. Because that's a reasonable amount for a regular amount of time person needs to use. So since a person's allowed to harvest that much, that's considered a small amount.
Is that per year? Or per
no,
year?
No, for the time. For the time.
So you come back the next day and buy the same amount.
Well.
So if you come once a month.
And you think of that because you bought the water, you go back and forth. Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's the letter of the law. It's the letter of the law. But, I mean, you take what you need for this time. Okay, guy wants to go around the law.
The bicycle okay. guy keeps
but each time, I don't just say, what if a guy, you know, today he gets a permit amount and tomorrow he gets a permit amount? Okay, well, I guess he could. I guess he could.
They have a computer.
Now, so that's allowed. Now, what about if a goy walks into your store and wants to buy 1,000 barrels? Umutar lim kor lagoy. Yes, I mean, so you can sell to a non-Jew even more than that, even in Eretz Yisrael, because a non-Jew does not have to keep the laws of Shemitah. You don't have to worry, maybe the goy is going to sell it now to a yid. Okay, we're not concerned about that. In other words, a goy could sell all the barrels to a yid now, who isn't keeping Shemitah. You know, because maybe the yid is afraid to go into the store because he's not going to sell to him. So he sends a goy in instead. So maybe, but we don't have to be concerned. That's, remember, is it vadai? Is it certain it's going to happen? No. Goy himself might just do it for himself. Umocher kadim rabbi so you can sell a lot of barrels to a Jew who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael where there is no Shemitah. Maybe you're afraid he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael and start using that. You don't have to be concerned, he's going to bring it into Eretz Yisrael. Because whenever you have two possibilities, you always go with the possibility that it would be done in the right way.
But why does the Rambam always only say it here and he didn't say it about the farm equipment?
I don't think guys would buy farm equipment outside of Israel. It's like heavy things. Okay, I don't know. It would be the same halacha.
Right.
Maybe this is more common.
Export only.
Okay, maybe it's more common. Okay. Now, we're going to do one more? Let's do one more. Let's do one more. Vav. Umocher lechashut parachoreshes. You're allowed to sell even to a suspected guy.
A plowing ox.
Now you're wondering, wait a minute, why am I allowed to sell a plowing ox? Bishvis in the Shmidir, is he going to use it to plow? Well, is there another possible use for a plowing ox? Yes. Sharei Efshel Lashach, you could shecht it.
Sure.
You know, let's say it's a big barbecue, making a wedding next week. So you can, it's a kosher animal, an ox, so it's not for sure going to be that way. Umocher lo, and you can also sell to a suspicious guy, Sadeu, his barren field. Why is he buying a barren field in the middle of Shemitah? I guess he wants to use it. No, because Sharei Efshishovil. Maybe he's going to leave it fallow. As opposed to the next halacha. But you don't sell him on orchard.
No.
The difference is why? Because the orchard's already got the stuff there. It's already, trees are there.
It's too tempting.
Easy for him to get going.
There's a whole
big undertaking has to take, and not everybody who buys a barren field is going to right away start applying. He might wait a little while. But a tree, a orchard, yeah, he's probably going to transfer his way. But you could sell him. You could sell him the orchard with a condition. If you say I sell to you, but you have no rights to the trees until after Shemitah, you sell it. I sell it to you, but you can't
land
possess it. You can't use it until after the Shemitah. You write that into the contract.
So you can sell a donkey to the guy. You can't eat it.
Well, I don't know. A donkey maybe just to carry things.
Yeah, sure you can.
So that's what we're saying. Yeah. There's another possibility. So he's picking the one that seems so likely he would use it. The ox is pretty, a plowing ox, but we're saying even that's okay.
Even if it was a trade for something like that, you could sell it to a goy for meat.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe. Umash ilo sa'a, he can also lend to him a measuring utensil. And quite often the measuring will be done to measure the crop that's coming into the silo, which is not allowed to be done normally. But limdotba, to measure it, the guy knows he has a silo. And one of the things that's, again, rabbinically prohibited is to measure all the crops. that are in the silo in the Shemitah year, because the truth is a measuring utensil can be used to measure more than prohibited things. He can measure something in his house, like a cup of sugar to make a cake. And he can even, and let's say the guy wants change. Let's say the guy, one of the things you cannot do is have workers that are working in your field in Shemitah and pay your workers in Shemitah. You can't do that. Let's say the guy who's the owner, he comes and says, can you change me $1,000 for 50 20s? And he has a lot of workers that he could pay them 20s, and he's not going to pay them $1,000 bill. So maybe you're helping him to pay the workers. Uporate low most, you can exchange money. I'll be sure they're exchangeable, even though you know he has workers. Why? Because he could be to change for other things. However, the chulan beferish asur. If the guy says, can you give me a 50, 20 50s? Because I have to pay my workers today. Can you give me a plowing ox? Because I want to plow with it tomorrow. If the guy's telling you he's going to do something wrong, then clearly you cannot use it.